Thank God for Jesus. If you have your Bible open to Joshua chapter number 1, and I want to begin today a series of messages out of the book of Joshua. Not sure how many messages we'll look into. We'll certainly not go verse by verse, but there's some truths in the book of Joshua that I'd like to bring to you over the next several Sunday mornings. And today I thought it would be appropriate on this Memorial Day weekend to talk to you about, well, a generation that had died and their leader that had died and a young man that God raised up to take them to the next level. I'd like to say that as we sit here this morning, that we who are Christians, I'm glad that if you're saved, you understand that God called you out of something. Now, I don't know what God called you out of. I don't. I know He called you out of sin, but the particulars, I don't know. I do not know. Now, God didn't call us out of Egypt to leave us in the wilderness. We're not going back to Egypt. The Red Sea's been closed. Amen. That's right. But God doesn't want you to stay in the wilderness. God wants you to go on to Canaan. So God called us out of something to take us into something. Now, Moses, if you'll notice in verse number 1, it says, now, after the death of Moses. Now, Moses was a great man of God. And God took Moses to the pinnacle of the mountain. He said, I want you to look over into, and you can read this in the book of Deuteronomy, the last chapter, chapter 34. He said, I want you to look over into the promised land. He said, but now you're not going to go there, but I want you to see it. Now, Moses represents the law. And the law never gets you your inheritance. But a man named Joshua was waiting in the wings. Now, the word Joshua means Jehovah is our salvation. Now, God has given us an inheritance. If you're saved in the grace of God, God has an inheritance for you. Now, you'll never know your inheritance under the law. Been set free. I'm not under the bondage of the law. Thank God I'm in grace. I'm in Jesus. And through Jesus, we have an inheritance that God wants us to claim. And so God raised up this minister. Notice if you would. In verse number 1, this man named Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. That means his servant. Oh, Joshua was in training for reigning. Amen. God had him training up so one day he could make him this great leader to take the children of Israel to the next level. I'm praying that God would raise up some young folks around Fellowship Baptist Church that has a heart for the things of God. I mean, listen, God told this young man, he said, I want you to be strong and of good courage. Listen, folks think, well, you know, I'm strong and of good courage because I do like the world and I do this and I do that and I jump off of this and I go here and I go this and I do that. Listen, I want to tell you what it is to be strong and of good courage, to stand against the flow of the world, to dare to be different, amen. To stand up and say, I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of my Lord. That's what it is to be strong and of a good courage. I thank God that though the Bible says here in verse number 1, now after the death, you see that of Moses. Moses is dead, but I want to declare to you this morning that God is not, amen. Amen. Listen, God will bury His servants, but the work of God goes on. Can I tell you the work of God goes on, brethren? One day I'm going to pass off the scene. That's right. And some of you that have a little age on you, you're going to pass off the scene. Now, I want to make this very clear. You don't have to be old to die. That's right. I want to get that out of the way. Just so that someone might be here and say, well, I've got X amount of years. Well, today, our soul could be required of us. Doesn't matter. Listen, you don't have to be old to die. You don't even have to be sick to die. That's right. So we need to get that settled. And so the Bible says that Moses, the servant of the Lord, you see that? Oh, I thank God for God's servants, don't you? How the servants of God have made such an impact on my life. Now, I had to allow them to impact and influence my life, but I'm thankful for the men that God put in the pathway of my life. And I want to just say this, too. God put some good, godly women in the pathway of my life to teach me and help me. I had a grandmother who feared God. who feared God. What an impact she made on my life. And I'm thankful for those that made an impact on my life. Moses was a servant of the Lord. You know, someone has said this, and I want you to remember this. If you're sitting here today and you say, "Preacher, what can my life be?" There's three words that I think. Now, Moses lived to be 120 years old. And his life was broken down into three sections of 40. The first 40 years of life, the word that I think sums up Moses' life is something. See, Moses thought he was something, didn't he? Brought up in the place of Pharaoh, the kingdom. He thought he was something. Now, the second year, 40 years of Moses' life, I think could be summed up with the word nothing. Because God put him on the backside of a desert, and Moses found out, "I'm nothing." So he went from thinking he was something to realizing he was nothing. But then those third 40 years of Moses' life, the word that I think really sums up his life is everything. So he went from something, "I think I'm something," to "nothing, I'm really not nothing," to realizing God is everything. Amen. He saw the power of God and he said, "God in heaven is everything." I hope to God that you that are sitting here today would be in that last phase of Moses' life and you would realize the God of heaven is everything to me. Moses, my servant, is dead. But he said, "I'm not through." He said, "Joshua, I want you to take the mantle and I want you to lead the children of Israel." There's three words that I think that sum up the first chapter of the book of Joshua. I want you to write them down. Number one, assignment. God gave Joshua an assignment. Why did God give Joshua an assignment? Because God had a plan for his life. Now, can I tell you, God has a plan for your life too? He does. God has a plan for your life. Oh, how I pray that you would realize this and you would recognize this and you would pursue this and allow God to reveal his plan to you. Don't reject the plan of God in your life. Go with it. Amen. Go with the plan of God because you cannot improve on the plan of God for your life. Assignment. And we'll look at that in just a moment. And then in verse number 10 of Joshua chapter 1, we have the commandment. After God gave Joshua the assignment, Joshua in chapter 1 verse number 10, it says, "Then Joshua commanded." Joshua took that assignment from God personal. And he began to act on that assignment. Now, if God has given you his assignment, I pray to God that you and I would react and act on the assignment that God has given us. And so it goes from an assignment to a commandment. He put it into force. In verse number 16, then the Bible says, "And they answered Joshua." The people, you see, answered Joshua. I call this the encouragement. So here's three words. Now, I'm not going to get to just one of them today, this morning, because we have baptism and I have a truth or two that I'd like to share with you. And I want you to think about this. So God gave Joshua an assignment. Joshua acted on that assignment and he gave a commandment. And basically what Joshua said is, "Let's go." Amen. "Let's get this done. I like being like Joshua. Let's not sit around and think about it and talk about it and meditate on it. Let's go, amen. Let's get this done. Let's get this done for God. God said do it. Let's go." Now, if you'll remember, Joshua was one of the two spies that came back with the report who said, "We are able." Right. 10 of those, "Oh, we be not able." But Joshua wasn't of that mindset. No, Joshua was a man who believed that his God could do anything. He believed that the God of Moses was his God too. I pray that you and I would realize that though the Spurgeons and the Finneys and the Moody's and the Tories, though they be dead, God is not dead. And God can do a work through your life. I pray to God, if you're here today, listen to me, young men, young ladies, if you're here today, that you would accept that mantle and say, "I am going to do something for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God with my life." You'll never be sorry. You'll never be sorry. Act on it. Let's look at the assignment. What is the assignment that God gave Joshua? We made it very clear. Now, as I speak this to you this morning, I want you to take it personal. God has an assignment for you. I don't know what God's assignment for you is. Now, I believe, generally speaking, God has an assignment for His church. And if you're saved, you're part of the church. And so God has an assignment for us as a church. But individually, as individuals, God has individual assignments for you and for me. And God has gifted us with gifts and abilities and talents to carry out those assignments. God's assignment to Joshua is very similar to God's assignment to me and to you. What was it? Well, let's see what he said. In verse number 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. He said, Joshua, it's time to go. It's time to move forward. You see, the children of Israel, you can read back in chapter 34, it says that they mourned for some time after Moses' death. But he said, now it's time to move on. It's time to claim the land. It's time to claim the inheritance that I've given. You see, when you read through the book of Joshua, it's very similar to the New Testament book of Ephesians. We find in the book of Joshua that God has given his people a wealth, a land flowing with milk and honey. Can I tell you, we are wealthy in Christ. Amen. But not only is the book of Ephesians about wealth, it's about our walk. God said we're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk upright. We're to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And God deals with that in the book of Joshua. There's a man by the name of Achan who said, well, you know what? I don't think God means what he says and says what he means. And you know how he took of the Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold and silver, and God judged them for it. So our walk is important. But the book of Ephesians closes with the believer's warfare. And there is warfare if we're going to have victory. And the book of Joshua covers that. What the book of Joshua is historically, the book of Ephesians is doctrinally. And so before I get into this assignment, I want to answer a question for you. What does God have to teach me from something that happened to a Jewish nation hundreds, thousands of years ago? Well, the Bible says these things are written for our learning. They're written for our admonition. You see, God wants to teach me how to respond to his assignment. And so God gives me a historical account of a man who responded to a personal assignment that God gave to him. And so, in essence, what God is doing with these Old Testament accounts, and by the way, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. And so what God wants to do is, see, he says, you know, my son, I want you to be a better Christian. I want to make you a better believer. And so he's left these things for our admonition and our teaching. So what was the assignment? He said, Joshua, get up. And he said, I want you to go over this Jordan. He said, I've got something I want you to do. He said, I want you to take the children of Israel to claim their inheritance. Look at verse number 4. He said, I want you to go from the wilderness into this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. I've given you the land of Canaan, and I want you to go claim it. Now, there's a lot of believers. Now, please listen to me. There's a lot of Christians today that are living below their blessing. They're living below their privilege. God didn't save you to leave you in a wandering around in the wilderness. God didn't save us to live a defeated, miserable existence. God has said you're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Why be a wanderer when you can be a conqueror? Amen. Thank God we've been made to triumph in Christ. And so here the Bible says in verse number 3, he said, just in case you're concerned about the enemies that are over there in Canaan, look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Look at verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Can I tell you, God never fails. God never fails and God never forsakes. So here's what God said. He said, Joshua, I've got an assignment for you. Perhaps there's someone here today and you're just kind of wondering, like the children of Israel in the land of wilderness. You've been called out of Egypt. You're no longer of the world, but yet you find yourself in wilderness wandering. You're looking for direction and purpose in your life. I pray God will speak to your heart this morning. And He would tell you, I've got a purpose and I have a plan. I have an assignment for you. And if you will fulfill that assignment, you will find joy unspeakable and full of glory. There will be fulfillment in your life like there's never been. I look around sometimes and I see folks that say they're saved. Now listen, I know we all go through hard times. There's not a one of us that have been excused from sorrow and disappointment in life. And yet, I want to tell you that even through those times, we as believers can rejoice with joy unspeakable. We can have joy that is full in our hearts. Why are people so sad today? I want to give you a verse of Scripture. Why people are sad today. Please write this down. John 13, 17. You ought to memorize this verse of Scripture. It's the reason that so many people have no peace in their heart, no joy in their life. Jesus looked at His disciples and He said, if you do these things. No, He said, happy are ye if you know these things. Or if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you know these things, how many of you know some things about God? You know that what it is to be saved. You know what it is to belong to Him. You know what it is to have your sin forgiven. Jesus said, if you know these things, you won't be happy until you do them. Happy are ye if you do them. See, the reason a lot of people have long faces and no joy, no excitement in their life, we become a generation of knowledge. We know some things. I think we live in a day where there's more Bible knowledge than there's ever been. But can I tell you, Bible knowledge is not much without Bible obedience. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Is there peace in your heart? Is there joy? Is there? Preacher, I know that God has an assignment for me. I know I've been chosen. I know that God has saved me. I know I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. My sins are gone. I've been set free. That's pardon. But what about God's purpose in your life? What does God save you to do? You say, well, God saved me to live the way I want to live. No, that's not why God saves anyone. For you see, the Bible teaches we who are saved are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which belong to God. So He said, I have an assignment for you, Joshua. And He said, I want you to move forward in this assignment. I'm going to give you three things in this assignment, and then I'll be done. Number one, I want you to notice God's promise. Would you notice that? He said in verse number 3 and 5, I read it to you. He said, I want you to know that I'm going to give you the promise that you will fulfill my assignment. Why? Listen carefully now. Because God's assignments always come with God's assistance. God will never ask you to do anything with assisting you and I to do it. God always gives the resources. Aren't you glad for that? And so He said, I want you to go, and He said, I want you to know that I'm going to give you a promise. Verse 3 says, no matter where your foot lands, I'm going to be with you. Verse number 5 says, no matter who stands against you, they're not going to be able to be victorious. I'm going to give you victory. Look at verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance their land. He said, I'm going to give you the inheritance. Joshua, you're going to make it to the land and you're going to settle in the land. I promise you that. God's promise is a good promise. Amen. God help me and God help you to live on His promise. Number two, God said, not only as I give you an assignment, do I give you the promise. He said, I want to give you the precept. Look at verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So he said, I have an assignment for you. I want you to take this people. He said, I want you to go and I want you to possess the land. I want you to claim the inheritance that I gave you. In our today's vernacular, what God would be saying to us is, I want you to live the victorious Christian life. I did not save you to remain in bondage. I have set you free. Live free. Live free. Be free. Don't bring yourself back under the bondage and the yoke of bondage. Live free in Christ. Carry out His purpose. Fulfill His assignment in your life. How can I do it, preacher? Well, God gave a promise. He gave the same promise to you and I in Hebrews chapter 13 that He gave here to Joshua. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Number two, the precepts, the Word of God. Aren't you glad for the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God.
Amen.
You get in this Word every day and God will get in you.
Amen.
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 You let God speak to you and you'll be speaking for God.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Notice what He said in verse number 7, the latter part of it. He said, don't turn from it now to the left hand or to the right. Just stay straight on, Joshua. Stay straight on. Oh, the devil tries to turn us, don't he? He tries to get us to turn to the right or to the left. He'll try to get you off the path now. Won't he? Won't he, folks? Look right up here at me, young folks. This is not just for you. He tries to get me off the path. Look at Dr. Thompson back there. He and Mrs. Thompson. He tries to get them off the path. You say, well, surely not Dr. and Mrs. Thompson. Can I tell you, he tries to get us all off the path. He wants you to turn to the left. He wants you to turn to the right. But listen, God told Joshua, Joshua, you just stay straight on, Joshua. Stay straight. Stay straight. God will honor it. God will honor it. Say, preacher, it's not easy to stay straight. I understand that. But God is our helper. And He will help us. Then He said this. Look at what He said. There's three words in verse number 8 I want you to remember. The first word's mouth. He said, that'd be an easy one for me to remember, preacher. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Speak it, Joshua. Speak the book of the law. Amen. Proclaim it. Put it out there. Don't you be ashamed of the Bible. Don't you be ashamed. You say, preacher, I want to fulfill God's assignment for my life. We will never fulfill God's assignment if we are ashamed of God's Word. Stand firm on this book. This book has stood. The wall of hell assail against it. The Word of God shall stand, brethren. This book will be standing when all nations bow down at the feet of Jesus Christ. This book is where it's at, right here. This book ought to govern your life and mine. He said, don't you let it depart from your mouth now. Speak it, proclaim it, tell it, share it. Number two, the word is meditate. Thou shalt meditate. That word, when you really begin to look at it, it means to hum. I'm probably, like most of you, I'll hear a good song and I'll hum it all day. How many of you do that? I mean, it's just kind of hard to get out of your mind. Sometimes it's a song I don't want to be in my mind. That's right. Go in Walmart. Bunch of carnal people at Walmart. Go in Walmart and they'll be playing a song and it takes me back before Christ. If I'm not careful, I'll be, amen. Yeah, that's right. And I say, oh, no, 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 you know, no, no, no. And then before long, I'll be doing it again. Oh, no, 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 I don't want to sing that song. I don't want that song in my mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So my preacher, I'm more holy than that. Well, God bless you. Amen. Right. Lay hands on me after the service. Right. Amen. Hey, this word meditate, it means to hum. It means to just keep it fresh. Let it keep just coming up. See, meditation is to the soul what digestion is to the body. When we eat physical food, our bodies, it breaks it down and it distributes nourishment and nutrition where it needs to be to make us stronger physically. Well, when I take in the manna, the meat, the honey of God's word, thank God when I meditate on it, God will just break it down in my soul and make me stronger spiritually. So mouth, don't let the word depart from your mouth now. Meditate, just muse on it. And then look what he said here. That thou mayest observe to do. That's the third word. To do. To do all. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Right? Do it. If God's word is going to become effective in our lives, if it's going to become effectual, we've got to act on it. It's not enough just to know what it says. We need to do what it says. And listen, I'm not standing up here telling you that I do everything I know in God's word. But as God is my helper, I want to. I need God to help me. I want Him to. Preacher, what do you do when you don't do it? Well, God convicts me of it. If you're saved, He convicts you of it too. And then we have a choice. We either can cover our sin and go on out of fellowship with God, or we can confess our sin and have our fellowship renewed. Right? Do the word. So he said, first of all, declare the mouth. Second of all, digest, meditate. Third of all, do God's word. Joshua, I have an assignment for you. And I want you to rely on my promise. I'll not leave you, Joshua. I'm not going to put you out there in the battle and leave you to yourself. Listen to me, soldiers of God, children of God, church. God's not going to leave us to ourselves. He's our head. He's the captain of our salvation. He will go before us. He has won the victory, and He says, I want you to claim it. Claim the victory that Christ has won. The promise. Number two, the precepts. Stay in this book. Get your marching orders. The devil wants to keep you from this book now. Listen to me. The devil wants to keep you from this book. Then thirdly and lastly, what has God given? What has God given to help us to fulfill the assignment? Look at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. As a matter of fact, you have. Verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse number 9, be strong and of a good courage. Look at verse number 18, the last phrase there as the chapter closes. Only be strong and of good courage. God said, I'm not giving you an easy assignment. You have enemies. You're going to have to bear up. Be strong. You've got to be steadfast. That's right. Unmovable. There's enemies. They want to take your victory that God's given you, want to spoil your inheritance and keep you from claiming it. But God said you can be strong and of good courage because I promised my promise to you and I've given my precepts to you. Now look at verse number 9. He said, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. He said, I want you to know I'll be with you. I want to give you my presence. So here's three things that I need to fulfill this assignment. Right? Did you know that God let us in on this when He sent Jesus? His name should be called Emmanuel, Matthew 1:23, which being interpreted is God with us. That's the way Matthew begins. You know how it closes? Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus said, and lo, I am with you, the presence of God. Look here in Joshua. Look what he said in Joshua, verse number 5. Right toward the end, it says, so I will be with thee. God said, I want you to know now I'll be with you. I want you to fulfill this assignment. And I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to assist you with this assignment. I pray that God would raise up some folks here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Thank God for our church family. Thank God for you. Young folks, your pastor loves you. You say, preacher, sometimes you're hard. Anybody that's hard on you, you need to evaluate why and how. Not everyone that's hard on you hates you. There's some folks that are hard on you because they love you. And they want God's guide rails and they want God's best for your life. They're basically, God is hard on me. I'm glad that He is. What is God saying? He's saying, son, I'm being this way because I want you to be safe. I don't want to see you hurt yourself. And if you get beyond these guidelines, you're liable to get hurt. I want you to stay within the guidelines that I've set. Who would be a young Joshua today as we stand to our feet? Who would be a young Joshua today? And after her hearing this assignment would say, as Joshua said, let's go. Amen. Oh, I love that verse number 10 where Joshua said, let's go. Prepare. We're moving out, boys. We're going to do the assignment of God. You know, I believe there's some young folks. I do. I just believe it. I know there's some. We've got some young folks here at Fellowship Baptist Church that have rose to the occasion. And they've said, we're going to serve God with our life. I thank God for you. Amen. Those of you that have not yet made that decision, I want you to know something. I still love you. And I'm praying that you will make that decision. I am. I pray that you say, well, preacher, God hasn't called me to preach. Well, God doesn't call everyone to preach. But can I tell you, you can fulfill God's assignment as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a mechanic. That's right. As a heat and air man, as a painter. Amen. Listen to me now. I'm not talking about an assignment to preach the gospel only. Perhaps God will call you to preach. That would be a great honor and privilege that you would owe your Lord, that He would count you faithful by putting you in the preaching ministry. Maybe God will call you to the mission field. But now all God's servants don't preach. And not all God's servants are missionaries. We have some of God's choice of service right here in our congregation who do a number of many jobs outside of preaching and missionary work. What's God's assignment for you? See, that's what's important. What's God's assignment for you? Whatever it is, He will assist you in it with His promise, with His precepts, and with His presence. Let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to begin to play.